Fast Eddie live at the Baraboo Dells Air Show in Wisconsin, talking to Cliff McKeithen from the Army Aviation Heritage Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning, Eddie. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Anytime Mama lets me out of the house to come play with the toys, it is a good day.
Well, we're speaking of the toys. We're standing in front of a Huey helicopter here. I understand you get to fly this toy.
That is my privilege.
How many hours do you have in it?
Well, in the Huey, I've got a little over 1,000 hours. I started out in aviation in fixed-wing flying Mohawks. So most of my Army flight time was in fixed-wing aircraft, and I transitioned into Huey later in my career during my second tour to Vietnam.
Oh, so you're also a Vietnam veteran then, a combat pilot.
I had two tours there, Russ.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for your service to the country, sir.
It's an absolute honor to be able to do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've seen a lot of footage of Huey helicopters used in combat and everything over there. I imagine it's a lot different flying it now in civilian life.
Absolutely. The experience in Vietnam was sort of guns-free. You're able to do just about anything you want to do without a whole bunch of supervision. Here, of course, for safety reasons, we adhere strictly to the federal aviation regulations. And we have oversight by the FAA at these shows. They come check us out and make sure aircraft is properly maintained, that the pilots have the proper credentials, and we're always operating as if someone were watching us.
So in other words, you get pretty much ramp checked every time you come out to an air show?
Just about, yes. One of the normal things is they will check your pilot's license and be sure your medical is up to date, that all of the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. They check the log books to see that the weight and balance computations have been done for the varying number of passengers. Since we may do a lift anywhere from, say, 3 to 10 passengers, the center of gravity of the aircraft could shift considerably in that. And so we pre-calculate the weight and balance for different passenger loadings so that we know that that loading will be within the acceptable center of gravity range for the aircraft.
So in other words, you have this already pre-planned. You just look at a chart and you say, okay, this is where we are. This is good to go.
That's correct. We will figure out our current aircraft weight, our loading, and we know then that we are safe. We check the current weather conditions, the temperature and density altitude, to be sure that we have sufficient power to be able to hover out of ground effect with that load on board. And at some air shows on a really hot day, say down at Dayton, we'll reduce our passenger load to be able to have control power margin for the operation.
That's very important. Safety, of course, being key.
That is number one.
Now, how did you people get a hold of all these helicopters?
Well, it's an interesting process. The Army started flushing them out of the system as the Black Hawks and the Apaches came along. The Army was still operating a lot of Hueys, and they made a decision several years ago that they were going to take the Huey out of service. So a lot of them started getting available on the surplus market, but what we were able to do, since we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, we were able to then acquire some of these directly from the National Guard as they were about to put them in the boneyard. And so the aircraft came to us in fairly good condition. And then we, of course, refurbish them. We tear them apart, look at all the parts, make sure everything's up to snuff. In fact, they're probably in better condition now than they were when they were actually flying in the Army.
I imagine in Vietnam, being under combat conditions, a lot of maintenance was deferred depending upon how urgent the need was for the helicopter.
Absolutely. And my personal heroes are these young men who, in hot days, dry days, wet days, whatever, worked all night to be sure that those aircraft were ready for the mission in the morning. The guys were absolutely phenomenal. Some maintenance, yes, you deferred it, but the critical things were always taken care of.
Well, that's good. Reliability, of course, being the key in a military operation.
Certainly. When you're flying over triple canopy jungle out there, you really don't want to have to set it down somewhere out there, especially with the VC wandering around armed to the teeth.
Yeah, there was a lot of bad guys back then, but fortunately there are no bad guys now.
Not here.
Wait a minute.
Of course, now if we flew over a turkey farm or something like that, the owner might get a little irate and pepper us with a shotgun shell. But we're careful not to do that.
Well, you have to be respectful of the neighbors.
Oh yes. In fact, flying cross country, one of the things we are careful to do if we see what is obviously a poultry farm ahead of us on our route of flight, we will divert around that to be sure that we don't scare the chickens or the turkeys or whatever.
The noise profile from a Huey has never been one of stealth, that's for sure.
No, it isn't. A little interesting tidbit. I used to teach chemistry in college, and every once in a while during the middle of the lecture, I would stop and say, "Gentlemen, in about 3 minutes you're going to see a Huey helicopter pass by the window." They'd look at me as if I were totally out of my mind. And sure enough, here it came. And they said, "How did you do that?" I said, "Well, first I felt the pressure wave." You can actually feel the thump of the blades before the sound gets to you. And as it got closer and closer, then you start picking up the sound. But you can actually physically feel the thump of the rotor blades as it's going through the air.
That is one of the things, one of the very distinctive things about the Huey helicopter is its noise signature.
That's correct. There's nothing like a Huey.
That's right.
A Black Hawk has a totally different sound. An OH-6, all of them have their own unique signature.
But the Huey, that thing really rattles your ribs when you're up close to it.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that when you, at these air shows, you run into a lot of the old vets who come in, and the comment that we get from a lot of these guys is, "I was out there in the bush and I felt it coming. And my spirits went up because we knew you guys were coming to get us."
I imagine that lifted a lot of spirits, especially those of the wounded, too.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the mortality statistics for the various wars, the ones for Vietnam went way down because of the ability of this aircraft to quickly get them back to good medical care.
And it was amazing the things that they were able to do with this helicopter.
Oh, yes, indeed. Some folks don't realize this, but this aircraft was never really originally designed as a utility aircraft for general use. It was due to a requirement for the Army Medical Corps to be used as an air ambulance originally. And as it was developed and people started seeing the capability of the aircraft, then it was expanded further into other roles such as cargo, then hanging guns on them, making the Huey Hog gunship, which preceded the Cobra. And so it went into a lot of roles. I would characterize the Huey as being the C-47 of the helicopter world.
There you go. That is a very good comparison. The C-47 did just about everything in World War II.
Right.
And, well, of course, this has vertical flight capability, which puts it down just about anywhere, but helicopters were in their infancy during World War II.
That's right.
And, of course, helicopter warfare and everything came to be because of Vietnam.
That's correct.
You had some pretty awful terrain over there.
It was really the only way to go. Trying to do anything in that sort of terrain would have just not been possible without the helicopter.
Well, it sounds like you probably got several hairy war stories that you've
got. Well, we have a sort of habit among aviators when they get together with a adult beverage at the end of the day, and we remember with crystal clarity events that never happened.
Like everybody else, there's always hanger tales.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stories out there. My most frightening thing actually happened in the OV-1 Mohawk rather than the Huey. I was flying Mohawks in the first cab during my first tour. And we were unarmed, of course. Go back to the Air Force Army fight over armed aircraft. And we were required to take the guns off, and we gave them the Caribou in return for unfettered development of armed helicopters. Well, I was flying this one mission, not allowed to carry any rockets on board. Spotted a few people down that looked suspicious, so I dove down to check them out. Of course, they scrambled and headed for the ditch. I got up on the radio and called in a couple of Marine jets from Chulai to come hit them. So they asked me whether or not I could hold them in position while they got there. So I started making low passes, keeping them down in the ditch with my props. and just doing return to target. On my last pass when the jets arrived, suddenly the windscreen exploded. I happened to see something off to the left, and I turned my head to look. That windscreen exploded. A armor-piercing round came through it, buried in the headrest behind my head.
Wow.
And showered everything with glass inside. Looked out the front, and the windscreen had crystallized. You know how a car, when it breaks because it's got laminated glass, you'll get cracks all in it. Well, the sunlight shining on that prevented me from seeing out of the front of the aircraft. And so I got on instruments, climbed out, started heading back to Han K, and I called him and said, look, good chance that we may have to eject over the field and trim the aircraft to fly out to sea. One of my buddies said, hey, hang on, I'll be right up. He grabbed another aircraft, came up. He said, just fly on my wing. So I got in formation with him. He took me back to the airfield, told me when to drop my gear, my flaps. He flew me down to the center of the runway, and then he peeled off so I could land the aircraft.
Nice.
It was a save, yeah.
I imagine you bought him all the beer he wanted that night.
That man had unlimited credit at the club.
Yeah, that's quite a story.